All right. Pastor's out at PCC preaching to the college up there, and he asked me if I'd fill in for him. And, the last couple of times he asked me to, and I'm thankful for it, the last couple of times he asked me to fill in for him, I had some dental issues and was not able to make that commitment. I finally got all the teeth pulled and got my dentures, and it's been a real blessing. They're finally fitting in pretty good, and I'm thankful for the blessing. Anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. I'd like to speak to you tonight about healing the leprosy of the modern era. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Leprosy was a dreaded disease in the ancient world, and was used by the prophet Isaiah to give a visually stark presentation of sin. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Even so, I believe leprosy is an accurate likeness to addiction. During the time of Christ, leprosy was relatively common and highly feared. Historical and biblical references suggest that leprosy was a significant public health issue in the ancient world. The American addiction epidemic is also alarming. According to 2025 addiction statistics compiled by Addiction Group, 48.7 million Americans aged 12 or older had a past year substance use disorder. Another nearly 50 million Americans have experienced previous substance use disorders. Excuse me, I got my messages out. Oh, there it is. Disorders, including the use of opioids, cocaine, methamphetamine, and others. See, drug overdose deaths have been rising sharply. Since 2000, there have been over 1,100,000 overdose deaths in the United States, and the numbers continue to climb. 70.3% of people aged 12 or older reported using tobacco products, vaping nicotine, using alcohol or illicit drugs in the past month, including 134.4 million people who drank alcohol or 46.6 million people who used illicit drugs. More than 4 out of 5 Americans who need treatment for illicit drug use do not receive it, highlighting a significant gap in access to necessary care and support. See, these numbers underscore the urgent need to address the underlying causes of addiction to help with prevention, treatment, and support for recovery. Relapse rates after addiction treatment are quite high, reflecting the chronic nature of addiction. Approximately 85% of people revert to previous patterns of drug or alcohol use within 1 year of treatment, highlighting the challenges of maintaining a long-term sobriety. About two-thirds of people resume drug use within a few weeks of starting addiction treatment. The initial period after treatment presents a heightened vulnerability for relapse. Engaging in long-term recovery support services such as mentoring, counseling, support groups, and sober living environments can significantly reduce the risk of relapse and improve long-term outcome. The importance of continuous support and care for people in recovery cannot be overstated. Jesus' example in healing the leper can be applied to ministering to those struggling with addiction, emphasizing a compassionate approach, faith and willingness, and a commitment to restoration and integration. In the first place, I see a compassionate approach. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And during Jesus' time, leprosy was highly stigmatized disease. Lepers were considered unclean and were isolated from the community. For a leper to approach someone for help required immense courage and desperation. And Luke tells us that there was a man full of leprosy, meaning he was covered with it. And as a doctor, Luke's description is medically precise. The fact that he was covered with leprosy indicates that the disease was well advanced and the man was possibly close to death. Matthew and Mark simply call him a leper. This term focuses on the social aspect of the disease, which rendered the man an outcast from society. Luke's description, again, of the man focused on his humanity, describing what afflicted him, full of leprosy. Physically, leprosy was a skin and flesh disorder that brought about literal decay of a person's body while they still lived. And the first signs of leprosy were white spots on the skin. People covered with leprosy often did not know that they had leprosy until they accidentally cut or injured themselves without feeling any pain. This was because leprosy deadened their nerve endings and did not send the proper signals to the brain. And eventually, grotesque sores emerged across their bodies. Pus oozed from these sores as the flesh began to rot. And as leprosy progressed, the leper's skin dried and their flesh degenerated. This brought fiery itching. People covered with leprosy used sticks and broken pottery to scrape and to scratch in an attempt to find a moment's relief from the agony. And after a time, fingers, toes, ears, and parts of the nose would fall off. Leprosy continued to disfigure and torment the victims until they finally perished. Socially, the leper also suffered anguish. Leprosy was highly contagious. It had no known cure. Accordingly, lepers were ostracized. They were forbidden to have personal contact with anyone, including their family and friends. And from the day they were first declared unclean, they were cut off from all society. All their relationships and everything they had worked for was taken from them. Their sense of self-worth was stolen from them. Their reputation and name were erased by their affliction. Their identity became their disease, a leper. Physically, addiction manifests as a gradual degradation of the person's body and health. The initial signs of addiction are often subtle, increased tolerance and a craving for the substance. Many do not realize they have become addicted even when they begin experience withdrawal symptoms or health complications. Addiction deadens the body's natural responses, impairing judgment and increased risk-taking behaviors. Eventually, addiction leads to more severe physical consequences. Organs such as the liver, heart, and brain begin to suffer damage, leading to conditions like cirrhosis, cardiovascular disease, and cognitive impairments. As the addiction progresses, the person's body deteriorates further to emaciation, often leading to chronic pain and other severe health issues. The torment of addiction continues until the person either seeks help or succumbs to their addiction. Socially, the person struggles with addiction also endures profound suffering. Addiction often leads to strained or broken relationships with families and friends. Social isolation becomes common as the person's behavior changes and they become more consumed by their substance use. And from the day that they are first recognized as an addict, they face stigma and judgment from society. Their social connections and achievements are overshadowed by their addiction. Their sense of self-worth is broken as they are labeled by their affliction. Their identity becomes synonymous with their addiction, stripping them of their individuality and reducing them to merely an addict or a dope fiend. Addiction is the leprosy of the modern era, ravaging the body and soul, causing deep emotional, psychological, social, and spiritual pain, highlighting the need for compassion, understanding, and support to help those afflicted to find hope and healing in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, a man with leprosy comes to Jesus begging on his knees and saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." His approach is filled with fear and depression, but also humility and faith, acknowledging that Jesus' mercy and power to heal are his last hope for sanity and a normal life. And similarly, people battling addiction often need immense courage to seek help and support because deep down they know Jesus is their last hope, but they are fearful of a lack of understanding, a lack of compassion, and rejection. Moved with compassion, Jesus does something unexpected. He touches the leper. This act is powerful because touching a leper made one ceremonially unclean. And yet Jesus not only heals the man, but he also shows profound empathy and breaks societal barriers. Jesus' touch shows acceptance, understanding, and compassion for what the person is going through. See, we can reflect this in our actions by offering a compassionate and non-judgmental presence to those struggling with addiction. Just as Jesus reached out to the leper, we can reach out with kindness and understanding, breaking down those barriers of stigma and isolation simply with a touch and a listening ear. And Jesus says, "I am willing, be clean." His words affirm his readiness to heal and his compassionate nature. The leper is instantly healed, demonstrating Jesus' authority and the transformative power of Jesus' compassionate touch. See, there is no true healing or freedom without salvation through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus further said in John chapter 8, verses 32 and 36, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And in fulfillment of Isaiah 61, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." See, our words can have a similar impact as we share the gospel. and telling them how Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and most importantly, how Jesus changed our lives. See, some say that anecdotal evidence is unreliable, but in reality, it gives hope that if God is willing to do it for them, He will be willing to do it for me. But by affirming God's willingness to forgive, save, and transform, as well as our support and willingness to help, we can instill hope and strength in those facing addiction. See, God's grace is sufficient for you, and we are here to walk with you. In your weakness, God's strength is made perfect, and we will help you find that strength. God is working in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure, and we will support you through this. Simple affirmations like these can make a significant difference in the recovery if we do not make them simply platitudes. And in the second place, I see faith and willingness. Again, Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Again, in Luke 5:12, the leper demonstrated longing faith by approaching Jesus despite being shunned by society and being considered unclean. His words, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean, reflected his desperate yet hopeful faith. This act of reaching out, even in the face of societal rejection, reveals his desperate belief in Jesus' ability to bring healing and restoration. See, the leper's plea is the result of being inconsolable. He humbly submits to Jesus' will, not demanding healing, but giving respect and trust. This humility is essential, recognizing that while he needs healing, it is Jesus' compassion and power that can make it happen. The leper's approach is a powerful reminder that true faith involves recognizing our need and relying on God's mercy and grace. And by coming forward, the leper takes a significant risk, breaking societal norms and putting himself at Jesus' mercy. See, this action reveals that faith often involves stepping out of our comfort zone and taking radical steps towards healing and transformation. The leper's courage serves as an example of how faith can propel us to seek the help and healing that we desperately need. In like manner, a person struggling with addiction needs a profound belief in the possibility of recovery. This faith must be in the goodness of God and Jesus' mercy and power to heal and transform their lives. It is this hope that will give them the courage to seek help despite facing societal judgment and isolation. And likewise, people struggling with addiction must acknowledge their need for help and submit to a relationship with Jesus in his recovery process. This humility is crucial in seeking support, recognizing that they cannot overcome their challenges alone and their need for compassion and support from others. And just as the leper relied on Jesus' mercy, people struggling in addiction must rely on God's guidance and support of their recovery and the support of their recovery community, the church. And in a similar way, people struggling with addiction must take bold steps toward recovery. This involves seeking a daily personal relationship with Jesus Christ, attending support group meetings like Bridge to Recovery, and making significant lifestyle changes. And just as the leper's approach to Jesus was an act of faith, each step toward recovery requires the courage and the willingness to radically overcome their sinful desires in order to have healing and transformation. See, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. See, Jesus' response, I am willing, shows that he is always ready to respond in genuine faith and need. His willingness to heal is not just about physical restoration, but also emotional and social acceptance. Jesus' readiness to respond to the leper's plea highlights his compassionate and inclusive nature, breaking down barriers and stigma and isolation. See, Jesus touching the leper is a heartfelt act of compassion. In a society where lepers were untouchable, Jesus' touch broke these societal barriers and gave unconditional love and acceptance. Jesus' willingness to heal by touching the untouchable reveals the depth of Jesus' empathy and his willingness to redeem those who are marginalized and rejected. Jesus' words, be clean, bring immediate healing. The instant healing of the leper affirms the transformative power of Jesus' words and his actions, offering hope and restoration. And further, this demonstrates Jesus' authority and power, reinforcing that faith in Jesus' willingness and ability to heal can lead to miraculous outcomes. And it is truly a modern miracle when Jesus transforms a person's life. And in the third place, I see a commitment to restoration and reintegration. Luke chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. After healing the leper, Jesus instructs him, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. See, this step was necessary for the leper to be declared clean according to Jewish law. It was not about physical healing. Showing himself to the priest was a formal process that validated his healing and officially reinstated him into social and religious life. It points to the importance of community and spiritual acceptance, in the process of complete healing. So the priest's declaration served as an official endorsement of the leper's restored state, allowing him to fully participate in society and religious activities. The healed leper's reintegration served as a powerful testimony to others of Jesus' healing power. His restoration was not only personal, but also a witness to God's work in his life. His reintegration into society exemplified the transformative power of Jesus' compassion and saving grace, offering hope to others who are marginalized and suffering. And recovery from addiction involves more than just stopping the addictive behavior. It encompasses physical, emotional, psychological, social, and spiritual healing. Just as the leper needed to be declared clean to reintegrate, people in recovery need comprehensive support to rebuild their lives. This holistic approach ensures that all aspects of their well-being are addressed, promoting a more sustainable recovery. An engagement with the local church as a community support system, including faith-based organizations like Bridge to Recovery and other social services, are crucial. These systems provide validation, support, and guidance, helping people navigate their journey of recovery and reintegration. And by connecting with these support networks, people in recovery can find the resources and encouragement they need to maintain their freedom and rebuild their lives. Addiction often strains and breaks relationships. And part of reintegration involves mending these relationships and rebuilding trust with family, friends, and the community. It is about reestablishing connections that were lost or damaged during this period of addiction. And this process requires patience, understanding, and ongoing effort from both the person in recovery and their loved ones. And as I close, the compassionate actions of Jesus, illustrated through his healing of the leper, provide a timeless and essential guide for addressing the struggles of addiction in our modern era. Jesus' empathy, acceptance, and willingness to heal those marginalized by society represent the qualities that we must embody in our interactions with people facing addiction. By offering a supportive and non-judgmental environment, we can create a place where those struggling can find the strength and the courage to seek recovery. Sharing the transformative power of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we can inspire hope, healing, and restoration. The leper's faith and Jesus' willingness to heal demonstrate the vital role of genuine compassion and support. And like the leper, people battling addiction must find the courage to seek recovery through faith in Christ. And our role is to offer the same support, empathy, and acceptance that Jesus did, helping break down barriers and providing an environment for healing and restoration by reflecting Jesus' love in our words and our actions. We can be instruments of his healing touch. And furthermore, the restoration and reintegration of the leper after his healing offer a profound illustration of holistic recovery and the power of compassionate support. And just as the leper was formally and spiritually acknowledged, people in recovery need comprehensive and continuous support to rebuild their lives. Through fostering a supportive community and engaging in spiritual healing and mending broken relationships, we can help those in recovery find hope and restoration. I'd like to encourage you to commit to being that compassionate hand and voices that break down barriers, that restore hope, and bring healing to those in need as a community of faith. We can create an environment where healing and reintegration are not just possible, but celebrated to the glory of God. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. A.W. Tozer wrote, emotion always comes between the knowledge and the act. A feeling of pity will never come to the human heart unless aroused by a mental picture of others' distress. And without the emotional bump to set off the will, there would be no act of mercy. Our emotion will be determined by what we see. If what we see is a mess, a problem, a dope fiend, or a waste of our time and effort, then we will be cold-hearted and we will not act except for possibly some verbal platitudes. But if we see what Jesus sees, the needs of the suffering, a lost soul, we will act out of love and compassion and mercy. And I want to encourage you to come, join our Bridge to Recovery ministry. See what God is doing and what he can do if more people were to get involved and show the love of Christ to those who struggle with stubborn habits and addictions. We need to begin training group leaders to help our current group leaders. We need mentors who are really just people who come to the program and connect with students to become friends in an effort to connect, to encourage, to guide, to pray for, to support. And we need people who will commit to getting CDL bus licenses to drive our buses on Friday nights and on Sunday mornings. And we need volunteers to help Miss Allison with snacks and monthly fellowship meals. So please come by and talk with me. I have a table out front. I have some, I have some yard signs out there for Bridge to Recovery. I'd love for some of you guys to take those and put those in your yard. If you have a business, you can put it in your window. We have some tracks out there. Love for you to take some of those tracks, and as you make personal contact with people, you can hand those out to them, and you would say something like, this not may not be for you, but we each know somebody who struggles with a stubborn habit or addiction that's in need of this, and invite them to come to the Bridge to Recovery program. And then, So please come, take a look. Like I said, Brother Earl said, we have our 16th anniversary this Friday. Dr. Weaver will be preaching. He is the founding pastor for the recovery ministry here at Worth Baptist Church. It was God's vision to him to start the recovery ministry here, and I am thankful for it. So help us to grow and develop this ministry to reach out to those struggling with addiction. Offer your support and empathy, and share the message of Jesus' transformative power. Together we can reflect God's love and grace, helping people find the strength to overcome their challenges and experience the fullness of life that Jesus offers. So let us be instruments of His healing and restoration, bringing hope and renewal to our community. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you struggle with some type of addiction or controlling habit in your life. Maybe God is working on your heart to come and be a part of the Bridge to Recovery ministry. Listen, God wants us to serve and to help people. You need to look at the statistics that I talked about in the beginning of the message. This is a growing epidemic. It's not going to get any better. It's going to continue to grow and to grow. And each one of us needs to be prepared to be able to help somebody who struggles with stubborn habits and addiction. Listen, the statistics show that 70% of the people 12 years or older struggle with some type of addiction. And that's just the substances. That doesn't even count the other types of addictions that there are. So almost every person that you walk by on the street during the day or in your job, place of work, struggle with some type of addiction or controlling habit in their lives. And God wants to use you to be a help and a blessing to them. He wants to use you to be the path of freedom and salvation. So why don't you come and give us a help and a hand. Help us to grow this ministry so that we can help other people, so that we can equip others to be a help and a blessing, and to help set people from the struggling, stubborn habits and addictions that control their lives.